The Lord promises a future reward for Ezra. The Lord answered, Ezra, some of what you just said is true, and those things will happen exactly as you said. It's true that I won't even think about sinners or their birth, death, judgment, and everlasting punishment. Instead, I will celebrate the birth of good people, their lives on earth, and how they were saved from destruction, and how they will be rewarded. Things will happen just as I have told you. A farmer plants a lot of seeds and small plants, yet not all of them will take root and grow. It's the same with people. Not everyone on earth will be saved at the end of time. Then I replied, Please listen to me again. The seeds the farmer planted may not grow because you stopped the rain from falling. Or maybe there was too much rain, and they rotted in the ground. People aren't the same as seeds. You made people to be like you, and then you created all plants and animals for them. Are we the same as seeds? Surely not. Save us, Lord, because you created us to be your very own. Have mercy on us. The Lord said, The present time is for those who are now alive, and the future is for those who will come later. It's true that you cannot love my creation more than I do, but stop thinking of yourself as wicked. Yet I am pleased that you don't think of yourself as perfect, and that you realize it's wrong to boast. These arrogant people who have boasted about themselves will suffer much pain at the end of time. Meanwhile, you should think about the glorious reward that you and other faithful followers will receive at that time. Heaven will be open to all of you. In fact, the tree that brings life has been planted, and the future world is ready. I have built the holy city, where you will have everything you need, including perfect rest. All things that are good and wise are waiting for you. Things that are evil will be kept from you, so that you won't ever be sick or unhappy. You will live forever, because wickedness and the world of the dead will be wiped out. All misery will disappear at the end of time, and everyone will receive the gift of everlasting life. So stop asking about the large number of people who will die. After all, when they had the chance to choose, they rejected me and refused to obey my laws and commands. They abused those who were faithful to me and even said I wasn't real, knowing they would someday die. That's why the rewards I have described will be given to you, while the wicked will receive nothing but thirst and torture. I, the Most High God, do not like to see people die without hope. But it's their fault for disgracing me, even though I created them and offered them a good life. The time of their judgment is coming soon. No one besides you and a few other faithful followers know this. More signs of the end of time. I said to the Lord, You have shown me a lot of things that will be signs of the end of time, but you have not told me when they will take place. Chapter 9. The Lord answered, Think carefully about what I've told you, and when you see some of these signs happen, you will know for certain that the end of time has come, and that I will soon judge everything I have created. When earthquakes shake the earth, and rebellions tear nations apart, and people no longer trust their rulers, and leaders lie to each other, then these things will happen. You will know that the things I said at the beginning of creation are coming true. The things that happen in this world have a clear beginning and end, and the same is true for the heavenly world. Miracles show the beginning of time, and signs point to the end of time. The people who will be saved from destruction will escape because they have done what is right and have been faithful to me. They will survive the tortures I have described, and they will safely reach the land I set aside as my own for all time. Then those who have disobeyed me and have ignored my law will be shocked when they realize they are to be tormented forever. I'm talking about those who rejected me in their lifetimes, even though they accepted the blessings I offered, and those who ignored my law when they had the chance to obey it, and those who refused to turn to me when they were able. They must suffer the misery of admitting that I was right from the beginning. So Ezra, stop asking questions about how wicked people will be punished. Instead, ask about how and when the faithful will be saved. I created the world for them, and it belongs to them. I replied, I will repeat again what I've already said. More people will die than will be saved. It's like comparing an ocean wave to a drop of water. The Lord said, a seed will grow only if the field is fertile. The colors of a flower will be bright only if the flower is beautiful. A job will be done well only if the workers are skilled. A harvest will be large only if the farmer works hard. Long ago, when I was creating this world and its people, no one was there to oppose what I did. But now the people in this world constantly sin against me, even though I have given them plenty of food and a law that leads to wisdom. I saw that my world was ruined and that the evil plans of people were destroying it. I was angry enough to wipe out everyone, yet I decided to save a few, like one grape out of a bunch or one tree out of a forest. The rest will die, but I will keep my few chosen ones safe, because I have worked hard to show them how to live right. Ezra, wait 7 more days, but this time you don't have to go without eating. Go to a deserted field where only wildflowers grow. Don't eat any meat or drink any wine, but eat the flowers and pray to me without stopping. Then I will come and talk with you again. The fourth vision. God's law will never be destroyed. I obeyed God's command and went to the field called Ardat, where I sat among the wildflowers and ate them until I was full. 7 days later, I was lying on the grass and was feeling depressed as I had before. Suddenly, I started speaking to God Most High. Our Lord, you appeared to my ancestors as they crossed the barren desert after leaving Egypt. You told them you were giving them your law because they were the descendants of Jacob, the ancestor of all Israelites. You promised that your law would help them live right, just like a seed that produces healthy fruit. And you said they would be rewarded forever if they obeyed it. Though my ancestors refused to obey the law you had given them, its fruit wasn't destroyed. You had created it. The people who had the law were punished because they disobeyed it and ignored the seed that had been planted in them. Usually when a seed dies after being planted in the ground, or a ship sinks into the ocean, or food spoils in a dish, the ground and the ocean and the dish are not destroyed, just the things they hold. But that isn't what happened to those who disobeyed your law. You put it in our hearts. And when we sinned, we were destroyed, not your law. It will never be destroyed. Your law will remain glorious forever. Ezra sees a vision of a mourning woman. While I was thinking about these things, I looked to my right and saw a woman who was crying and very upset. Her clothes were torn, and she had put ashes on her head to show her sorrow. I forgot my own troubles and turned to ask the woman, "Why are you crying and so upset?" She answered, "Please, sir, just let me cry and mourn by myself. I am very sad." Then I said, "Tell me what has happened to you." The woman replied, "Sir, I had been married for 30 years, but never had a child. Every hour of every day I prayed to God Most High, and finally he saw how sad I had been those 30 years. He gave me a son, and that made my husband and me and our friends very happy. We thanked God for blessing us. We raised our son right, and after he had grown up, I found a wife for him and arranged the wedding celebration." Chapter 10. But on their wedding night, as soon as my son went into the bedroom to be with his bride, he dropped dead. So we let our oil lamps go out, and all our neighbors came to comfort us. I controlled my sadness until the next evening, and when everyone had gone home, I got up in the night and ran to this field. I will never go back to town. I am going to stay out here and mourn and go without eating until I starve to death. After hearing this, I stopped thinking only of myself and said in anger, "You must be the most foolish woman in the world. Look around and see how we are suffering. The people of our holy city Jerusalem are sad and hopeless. You should be sad and mourning for Jerusalem along with the rest of us, instead of grieving for your son. The earth itself will tell you that many of its people have died, and for that reason it deserves to mourn. Many people have been born on this earth, and many more will be born. And almost every one of us is doomed at the end of our lives. So the earth is mourning the death of most of its children, while you are mourning the death of only one child. Who should be sadder? I know that you think your pain is greater than the earth's, because you suffered the pain of giving birth to your child. And you say that birth and death take place on this earth every day. But listen to me. From the beginning of time, the earth has had to suffer the birth of her children, just as you suffered the birth of your son. So keep your sadness to yourself, and bravely accept what has happened to you. Admit that God is fair in what he does, and you will one day get your son back. Then other mothers will praise you. Now return home to your husband." She answered, "No, I will never go back. I am going to die out here." I replied, "Please don't talk like that. Pay attention to the sadness and grief of Jerusalem, and you won't feel so bad about your own situation. The temple and its altar have been torn down, and our joyful worship and songs of praise have stopped. The oil lamps have gone out, and the sacred chest has been carried away. In fact, all the sacred things at the temple have been ruined. Our God has been disgraced because the enemy has abused our children and burned our priests to death. The priests who survived from the Levi tribe were taken away as prisoners. The young women of Jerusalem have been raped, and wives have been beaten. Even the most faithful men of our city have been taken captive. The children have been abandoned, while the young men have been made slaves, and the strongest soldiers have been left with no weapons. Worst of all, our hated enemies have disgraced Jerusalem, which was once known as God's own city, though they now control it. So stop being sad and depressed, and perhaps God All-Powerful will show you mercy. I pray that He will keep you safe from any more troubles. While I was talking to the woman, her face started shining bright as lightning. I was afraid to go any closer, and was amazed at what was happening. Just then, she screamed in such a loud and frightening voice that the whole earth shook. After that, I couldn't see her any longer. All I could see was a city being built on a very large foundation. I was now terrified, and I shouted, "Where is the angel Uriel who spoke to me earlier? He caused all my confusion. I will soon die, and so my prayers are useless." The angel Uriel explains the vision. Before I finished speaking, the angel Uriel appeared to me again, and when he saw me lying on the ground as if I were dead, he grabbed my right hand and helped me stand up. Then he asked, "What's wrong, Ezra? Why are you so confused and upset?" I answered, "It's because you left me alone. I came out to this field just as you told me. And now I don't understand what I'm seeing." "Stand up and be brave," he ordered, "and I will explain it to you." I replied, "Please do that, sir. Don't leave me again, or else I will die not knowing. I cannot understand what I've seen and heard here. Am I imagining all this? Is it a nightmare? I beg you to tell me what this weird vision is all about." Uriel said, "Listen carefully, and I will explain the vision that frightened you so much. God Most High has been showing you many secret things, because He knows you are a good man who has always worried about Jerusalem and the people of Israel. So I will tell you the meaning of the vision. A short time ago, a woman appeared to you, and when you saw that she was mourning, you tried to comfort her. She began telling you about the death of her son, and when she suddenly disappeared, you saw a city being built. Listen to what all this means. Both the woman and the city stand for Jerusalem. The 30 years she lived without having a child are the 3,000 years when no sacrifice was offered in Jerusalem. Then the woman had a son. This is the time when King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem and began making offerings there. The time the woman spent taking care of and raising her son is the time when Jerusalem was filled with people. And the moment her son died stands for the fall of Jerusalem. You tried to comfort her when you saw her mourning the death of her son. And when God Most High saw your deep sadness over the woman, He showed you the bright light of her beauty and glory. I told you to come to this deserted field because I knew God would show you these things. The reason the field had to be completely empty, with no building or foundation of any kind, is that nothing done by humans could stand in the place where God would show you His holy city. So, Ezra, stop being afraid. Walk into the city and look at the beautiful large buildings. Look as long as you want, and listen to everything you hear. God Most High respects you much more than he does anyone else. And so you have been blessed. Stay there until tomorrow night, and then he will show you in dreams and visions what he will do with the people who are alive at the end of time. So I stayed in the city two nights, just as Uriel had told me.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
The fifth vision. Ezra sees a vision of an eagle. Chapter 11. During the second night that I was in the city, I dreamed about an eagle flying out of the ocean. It had 12 wings and 3 heads. And as I watched, the eagle spread out its wings over the whole earth. Wind from every direction blew in toward it, and clouds gathered around it. Then from each of the 12 large wings, I saw smaller, weaker wings appear. The middle head of the eagle was larger than either of the other two, and all three were asleep. The eagle soared high in the air, and became the ruler of everyone in the world. Not one living thing opposed the eagle. The eagle landed, and I watched it stand on its claws, and heard it say to its wings, "Take turns waking up to stand guard, and be sure to sleep when you have the chance. The heads will take their turns last." Then I realized the voice was coming from the middle of the eagle's body, and not from one of its heads. I counted 8 small wings growing from the larger ones, and then I saw the large wings on the right side of the eagle rise up and take control of the whole world. Soon its time to rule was over, and it disappeared without a trace. Then another wing took its place, and it ruled for a very long time. But after its rule, it also began to disappear. All at once, a voice said to this wing, "You have ruled the earth a long time. Now, before you are gone, I want you to listen to me. No one after you will rule as long as you have, not even half as long." After that, a third wing also took over and ruled, then soon disappeared like all the others. Each one had its turn to rule, and was then gone forever. While I watched, I saw the smaller wings on the right side of the eagle take their turns to rule. Some of them ruled briefly, then disappeared, and some never ruled at all. I realized that the 12 large wings and 2 of the smaller wings were gone. So the only things on the eagle's body were the 3 heads and 6 small wings. Suddenly, 2 of the small wings left their place and moved under the head on the right side of the eagle. The other 4 wings remained in place, but they started planning to take over the world. The first one rose up to rule and quickly disappeared. When the second one rose up, it disappeared more quickly than the first. The last 2 made plans to rule together. But while they were planning, the larger head in the middle woke up. The other 2 heads also woke up, and together they ate the 2 small wings. The large middle head then controlled the entire earth and was cruel to everyone, because it had much more power than any of the wings had ever had. In a short time, however, this head disappeared just as quickly as the wings had, and so only 2 heads were left. They also ruled the world and its people, but soon the head on the right ate the one on the left. Just then a voice said, "Ezra, look carefully at what you see in front of you." I saw something that looked like a roaring lion coming from a forest, and I heard it speak in a human voice to the eagle. Listen, because this message is from God Most High. I chose four beasts to rule my world and to bring about the end of time. You are the last of these four, and you have defeated them all. During your entire rule, you caused terrible fear and abused and cheated others. You have judged unfairly and have tortured innocent and kind people. You hate honesty and make friends with liars. You have destroyed innocent people's homes and the walls around them. I am God Most High, and I know that you are proud and arrogant. I have looked at the past, and the time is near when this world will come to an end. As for you, eagle, you will also disappear. Your terrifying large wings, your evil small wings, your hateful heads, your wicked claws, and your worthless body. The whole world will then be free from your violence. It will be refreshed as it looks forward to the final judgment and to the mercy that I will show to my creation. Ezra continued. Chapter 12. While the lion was still speaking to the eagle, I noticed that the last head of the eagle was no longer there. Then the last two small wings that had moved under this head rose up to rule the world. Their rule was very short and weak. As I watched, they also disappeared. Then the body of the eagle burst into flames, and the whole world was shaken with fear. Ezra is told the meaning of the vision. I was so afraid and confused by what I had seen that I woke up and said to myself, "I'm to blame for all my distress, because I've tried to understand the ways of God Most High. My mind is exhausted, and my body is completely worn out because of what I have seen tonight. So I will pray and ask God to give me strength until the end of time." I prayed, "Our Lord God, if you are pleased with me and find me more faithful than others, and if you have heard my prayers, I ask that you give me strength and tell me what this horrible vision means. After all, you have already told me what to expect at the end of time." The angel Uriel answered, "Here is what the vision means. The eagle you saw stands for the fourth kingdom that your ancestor Daniel also saw long ago. But I will explain it differently. One day, a kingdom will rule the world, and this kingdom will be more oppressive than any before it. 12 kings will rule this kingdom, one after another. But the second king will rule longer than any of the others. That is the meaning of the 12 large wings that you saw. You heard a voice coming from the eagle's body instead of from any of its heads. That voice stands for a rebellion that will take place in the kingdom after the second king has ruled. That struggle will make the kingdom weaker, but it will survive and then be powerful as ever. The 8 small wings you saw growing from the larger ones means that 8 more kings will rule the kingdom for only a short time. 2 kingdoms will fall at about the midpoint of their rule. 4 more will fall toward the end, and 2 will remain until the end of time. The 3 heads of the eagle that were sleeping stand for 3 kings that will appear near the end of time. God Most High will make these kings strong and powerful as they rule the earth, and they will be meaner than any of the kings before them. They represent the heads of the eagle, because the wickedness of the eagle will be at its height with these three kings. You saw the largest head suddenly disappear. That's because one of the kings will die a painful death while sleeping. The other two will die in battle. One will kill the other. Then someone will kill him in a battle at the end of time. The two small wings you saw moving under the head on the right side of the eagle are the two kings that God Most High will keep until the end of time. Their rule will be very short and full of trouble, just as you have seen. You saw a roaring lion coming from a forest, and you heard it speak to the eagle and condemn it for being so wicked. That lion is God's own chosen servant, who will appear at the end of time. He will be one of David's descendants, and he will warn the kings about their evil ways and condemn them for disobeying God Most High. He will judge them before they die, and after he has shown their guilt, he will put them to death. But he will have mercy on the rest of God's people who have survived and are living in his nation. They will be happy until the final judgment, which I have already told you about. This was the vision you saw, and what it meant. God Most High has chosen only you to know this secret, because you are the only one loyal to him. So write down in a book everything you've seen, and keep it in a safe place. Teach these things to people who are wise enough to understand and will keep them secret. Now, wait here 7 more days to see if God Most High wants to show you anything else. Then the angel left. The people find Ezra. 7 days later, the people living in the city heard that I had not yet returned. So they all met together, both young and old, and came to ask, "Are you angry at us? Have we done something to make you leave the city and live out here? You were the only one of our prophets left to speak to us. You're as special as the last bunch of grapes in the vineyard, or an oil lamp in a dark place, or a safe harbor for a ship in a storm. Haven't we suffered enough? If you desert us now, we might as well be dead, just like the others who died in the fire that destroyed Jerusalem." And they started crying loudly. I said, "Listen to me, people of Israel. Be brave and stop being sad. God Most High hasn't forgotten you in your misery. I haven't left you, but I have come here to pray for the lonely city of Jerusalem and to ask God to show mercy on the ruined temple. Now all of you go home, and I will see you in a few days." So they left and went back to the city. I stayed in the field 7 more days, as the angel had commanded, and I ate nothing except wild flowers and plants. The 6th vision. Ezra sees a vision of a man from the sea. Chapter 13. 7 nights later, I dreamed that I saw a storm at sea with rising waves. I saw what looked like a man come up from the middle of the sea and fly with the clouds. Wherever he turned, everything he looked at trembled with fear. And when he spoke, everyone who heard him melted like wax in a fire. Then I saw many people from every direction coming together in a crowd too large to count, and they were ready to fight the man from the sea. This man carved out a huge mountain and flew to the top of it. I tried to see from what nation or region he had taken the mountain, but I couldn't see. I noticed that the people were terrified of the man, yet they still planned to attack and defeat him. When he saw them rushing toward him, He didn't pick up a weapon of any kind. Instead, he opened his mouth, and a stream of fire shot out. Flames came from his lips, and sparks jumped from his tongue. These fiery things came together and fell on the crowd, completely burning up everyone. Nothing was left of the crowd, except for smoke and ashes. I was amazed at what I had seen. I watched as the man from the sea came down from the mountain and called together a different crowd of people, a peaceful crowd. Some of these that came to him were happy, some were sad, while some were tied up and led along by others. Ezra asks what the vision means. I was terrified when I woke up, and I prayed to God Most High. Our Lord, you have shown me a lot of amazing things, and you feel I deserve to have my prayers answered. So would you also explain this vision to me? You know that I am terribly concerned about what will happen to those who are alive at the end of time. And what about those who die before that? They will suffer terribly because they won't receive any of the blessings that will come at the end. Yet those alive at that time are also in for trouble. They must face dangerous and troublesome times, just as you have shown me in these visions. I still think that those who survive these troubles will be better off than those who disappear from this world as quickly as a cloud. Those who survive will live until the end of time. Yet those who die will never see what takes place. The angel Uriel answered, I will explain the meaning of this vision and answer your questions. You have asked about people who will survive until the end of time and about those who will die before then. So I will tell you that the same one who causes trouble in the last times is the one who will protect those who have been faithful and obedient to God All-Powerful. You can be certain that the people who survive will be much better off than those who are dead. Now I will tell you what the vision means. The man that you saw coming out of the sea is the one God Most High has kept ready during the history of the world. He will set God's creation free and will keep the faithful safe in the world to come. You saw this man breathe flames and a fiery storm, and you watched him wipe out the crowd of people who were attacking him without ever reaching for a weapon. This means that God Most High will one day rescue all people who have been faithful to him. Everyone on earth will be shocked and will plot war against one another. Cities will fight against other cities, regions against other regions, nations against other nations, kingdoms against other kingdoms. And when you see these things happen, together with the signs I told you about earlier, then people everywhere will see God's Son, the one you saw as a man coming up out of the sea. When the people of every nation hear his voice, they will stop fighting against one another and will leave their homes and gather together into one crowd too large to count, just as you saw in your vision. They will plot to defeat God's Son, but he will stand on the mountain of Jerusalem, and the new city of Jerusalem will be shown to everyone. This is the mountain you saw carved out without human hands in the vision. The storm you saw stands for the time when God's Son will judge all godless nations. He will remind them of every wicked and evil plan they had, and will tell them of the tortures they must face. These were the flames you saw. Then finally he will easily wipe out the godless nations by using God's holy law. This was the fire in the vision. You saw God's Son call together a peaceful crowd. These are the 9 tribes that King Shalmaneser of Assyria captured during the rule of King Hoshea of Israel and led away to a foreign land across the Euphrates River. But these tribes decided to leave this foreign land and settle in a place where no one had ever lived and where they could obey God's laws more faithfully than they had in their own country. They chose to cross the Euphrates at the most difficult place, so God Most High had to perform amazing miracles and stop the flow of the river until they had safely crossed. They traveled a year and a half through the region known as Arzareth, where they have lived ever since. Before the end of time, they will come back home, and God Most High will once again stop the flow of the river to let them cross. This was the large and peaceful crowd you saw gathered around God's Son. They are the ones who will be left of your people. They will be found within God's holy nation and will be rescued when His Son destroys the godless nations that gather together to attack Him. He will defend your people who survive and work amazing miracles for them. I replied, "Sir, why did I see the man coming up out of the sea?" He said, "Just as no one knows what is at the bottom of the sea, so no one on earth will see God's Son or those with Him until the final day comes. That's what your vision means. And only you have been told these things because you care more about studying God's law than you do about following your own concerns. You have spent your life searching for wisdom, and knowledge has been as dear to you as a mother. That's why God has shown you these things, and will one day reward you. Now, after 3 more days, I will explain to you other important and marvelous things." As I walked across the field, I worshipped and praised God Most High for the amazing miracles He had done, and for controlling history and all that happens. I stayed there for 3 days. The 7th vision. Ezra hears a voice from a bush. Chapter 14. On the 3rd day, while I was sitting under an oak tree, I suddenly heard a voice calling my name from a bush, so I stood up and answered, "Here I am, Lord." The voice said, "I appeared to Moses and spoke with him from a bush when my people were slaves in Egypt. Then I sent him to bring them out of Egypt and to lead them to Mount Sinai, where I talked with Moses for a long time. I told him a lot of amazing things and secrets about the end of time, and I carefully taught him what to tell openly and what to keep secret. Ezra, I am commanding you to remember all the signs, the visions, and the meanings that I have shown you. Soon you and my other faithful followers will be taken away from this earth to live with my Son until the end of time. This world isn't young anymore. It is growing old. The history of the world is divided into 12 parts. We are already halfway through the 10th part, so only 2.5 parts are left. So get ready to leave. Warn wicked people to change their ways. Encourage those who are humble, and teach anyone who can understand. Then give up your earthly body. Stop worrying about everyday matters and leave behind your weak nature. Quickly forget about the things that upset you and prepare to leave this world. You have seen terrible things happen already, but things worse than these will take place. Because as the world gets older and weaker, evil disasters will increase even more. Truth will be forgotten and dishonesty will take over. And the eagle you saw in the vision is now on its way here. The Lord commands Ezra to write down the law. I answered, Please listen to me, Lord. I am ready to do what you have commanded. I will warn the people who are alive today. But who will warn those who will be born after I'm gone? This world is a dark and sinful place, and its people need to be shown what is right. Your law has been destroyed by fire, and so no one knows what you have done in the past or what you plan to do in the future. Please send your spirit to help me write down everything that has happened in the world since the beginning of time. These things were written in your law. Then people who desire to be faithful to you can know right from wrong and can live until the end of time. The Lord replied, Bring everyone together and tell them to leave you alone for the next 40 days. Then get a lot of writing tablets and ask Saria, Debria, Selemiah, Ethnus, and Asiel to help you. They have been taught to write rapidly. Come back to me, and I will give you the knowledge you need to finish this job. When you have finished, I will tell you what things to announce in public and what things to tell only to the wise. You should start writing tomorrow at this time. Ezra begins his work. I did exactly as I had been told and called together the people of the city. Then I said to them, Listen to me, people of Israel. Long ago, our ancestors lived in Egypt as foreigners. Later they were set free and were given God's law, the law that leads to life. Our ancestors disobeyed it, and you have done the same thing. God gave you the land of Israel as your own, yet both you and your ancestors sinned and did not follow his teachings. God Most High judges all people fairly, and so it wasn't long before he took away what he had given you. Now look where you are. You are captives here in this foreign land, while some of your people are held even farther away from your homeland. Control your thoughts and learn from me. God will protect you now and show you mercy at death. Judgment will come after death. Then we will be brought back to life when everyone can see who has been faithful to God and who has done evil. For now, leave me completely alone for 40 days. After that, I called together the 5 men, and we went to live in the field, just as I had been told. The very next day I heard a voice saying, Ezra, open your mouth and drink what I give you. I opened my mouth and was given a cup filled with something fiery red. I took it and drank. Immediately I became wise and could remember everything, and I started talking and could not stop. God Most High also gave understanding to the 5 men, and they took turns writing down what I said, using letters they had never seen before. They worked 40 days, writing during the day and eating at night. I spoke all day and through the night, and at the end of 40 days, 94 books had been written. When the time was up, God Most High said, Take to the people the 24 books that you wrote first, so that everyone, whether worthy or unworthy, can read them. Keep back the other 70 books, and let only the wisest people read them. These books are filled with understanding, wisdom, and knowledge that flow like streams of fresh water. I did what I had been commanded. Additional words from Ezra. Disaster is coming for the world. Chapter 15. The Lord said, "Tell my people the messages I am giving you, and have them written down, because they are true and can be trusted. Don't be afraid of those who plot against you, or be upset if some don't believe. Those who refuse to believe will die for their stubbornness. I plan to punish the world cruelly with war and starvation, with death and destruction, because evil and wickedness have taken it over. I, the Lord, will no longer ignore the sins of those godless people without doing something about them. They have killed innocent people, and the blood and the souls of these faithful ones constantly cry out to me. Know for certain that I hear them, and will take revenge for the deaths of every innocent person who has been brutally murdered. My people are being slaughtered like a flock of sheep, but now I will no longer let them live in Egypt. I will use my power to bring them out. Then I will punish the people of Egypt with terrible diseases, just as before, and I will destroy their land. Their entire nation will groan, and the cities will fall when I punish it. The farmers there will mourn when their seeds die in the ground, and when their trees are ruined by disease, hail, and violent storms. Disaster is coming for this world and all who live in it. Wars will soon break out, and nations will fight against one another. Groups of people will plot to rule others, while ignoring the true leaders. Cities will become too dangerous to visit, because their buildings will be in ruins, and fearsome riots will be taking place everywhere. People will be so desperate that they will beat and rob their friends to get food and supplies. I am gathering together the kings from the north, south, east, and west to make them pay for what they have taken. I will treat them as harshly as they have treated my chosen people. I will show no mercy to those who have sinned against me, and I won't spare anyone who has killed innocent people. My anger has become hot as fire, and has burned the foundations of the earth, wiping out sinners as if they were straw. Those who refuse to obey my law are doomed. I will show them no mercy. Get away from me, you worthless rebels, and stop polluting my holy temple with your unfaithfulness. I know who you are, and I will condemn you to a violent death. Horrible disasters have already begun, and there is no way to stop them. You have sinned against me, and I will not spare you. A frightening vision in the east. The Lord said, "Ezra, you will see a frightening vision in the east. The fierce armies of Arabia will appear in chariots, charging and hissing like dragons, and their sound will make everyone tremble with fear. The Carmonians will rush out of a forest as angry as wild boars, and they will attack the dragons with their powerful teeth and tusks, wiping out an entire region of Assyria. But the armies of Arabia will join forces and fight bravely side by side, and they will win. They will quickly defeat the Carmonians, who will retreat in fear. Meanwhile, an Assyrian army will ambush the Carmonians and kill one of their kings and his soldiers. The rest of the soldiers and the other kings will panic and shake with fear. You will then see dark, threatening storm clouds move in from the east, the north, and the south. When they crash into each other, a storm of anger and violence will fall over the earth. Blood will flow as high as a horse's stomach, or a person's thigh, or a camel's knee. People will be terrified and will shake in horror at the sight of this violence. Then more storm clouds will move in from the south, the north, and the west. But winds from the east will be stronger and will hold back these destructive storm clouds. Then large and dark storm clouds will move in and destroy the earth and its people. They will pour down great anger on every hill and mountain, with lightning and hail and flying swords, until rivers flood nearby fields. Walled cities, mountains and hills, forests and crops will be destroyed. The flood water will flow as far as Babylon, and surround it with violence and anger. Babylon will be wiped out, and the dust and smoke will fill the air. Everyone who sees this happen will mourn, and its survivors will become slaves to those who destroyed the city. Asia is no better than Babylon. Ezra said, Asia, you are doomed. You shared the glorious fame of Babylon, and now you're just as wicked and arrogant. You dressed your daughters like prostitutes so they would satisfy your lovers, yet those lovers wanted only you. And now, because you have followed the disgusting and evil ways of that place, God says, I plan to punish you with terrible disasters. You will soon be a widow, and I will send poverty, starvation, war, and disease to destroy your houses and kill your people. Your proud strength will wither away like a flower when my fiery anger falls on you. You will be weak and helpless, like an abused woman, and will no longer attract rich lovers. If you had spared my chosen people, I wouldn't punish you so severely. But you enjoyed killing them, and you cheered and clapped at their pain while you were drunk. Put on your makeup and get ready to be rewarded for being a prostitute. I will pay you back with disaster for what you have done to my people. Your children will starve, and you will be killed, together with your people living in the countryside. Your cities will be destroyed, while the people living in the mountains will get so hungry and thirsty that they will eat their own flesh and drink their own blood. You will suffer more than anyone else has ever suffered, but things will get even worse. The army that wiped out Babylon will come back through your land and crush your peaceful cities and destroy your beautiful countryside, leaving your great nation in ruins. You will be nothing but scorched straw. This army will smash every city and make your land and mountains empty wastelands. Your forests and fruit trees will be burned to the ground. This cruel army will carry away your children and your wealth, leaving you stripped of your glory. The enemies of Israel are doomed. Ezra said, Chapter 16. Babylonia, Asia, Egypt, and Syria, all of you are doomed. Put on sackcloth and cloth made of goat's hair to show your sorrow. Cry and mourn for your children, because the time of your destruction is already here. The Lord is sending war on your nations, and no one can stop it. He will set you on fire, and no one can put it out. Disasters will come to you, and no one can save you. Can anyone stop the attack of a hungry lion, or put out a grass fire, or turn back an arrow shot by a strong archer? When the Lord punishes with disasters, no one can stop them. His anger is like a fire that no one can put out. And when he sends thunder and lightning, people are terrified. They drop to their knees in horror when he threatens destruction. The deepest parts of the earth and the sea together with the waves and fish, tremble at the sight of God's bright glory. His powerful right arm pulls back the bow, and his sharp arrows fly across the earth without missing their target. The troubles he has sent are like those arrows. They won't stop until they reach their targets. He has started a fire, and it will burn until the earth is destroyed. The disasters are coming and cannot be turned back, just as the arrows cannot be stopped. Even I am doomed. Who will rescue me in those terrible days? Sinners will never change their ways. Ezra said, "Sorrows will begin, and there will be much crying. Famine will strike, and many people will die. Wars will break out, and powerful armies will be terrified. Disasters will come, and everyone will tremble with fear. What will people do when these things happen? The Lord must send starvation and disease, pain and disaster to punish sinners. But they will never change their ways, and they will forget about their punishment. The time is coming when food and supplies will be so cheap that people will think peace is coming. Then suddenly, disasters will strike. War and starvation and constant confusion. People on earth will starve, and those who survive will be killed in war. The dead bodies will be thrown out like garbage, and no one will be left to comfort those who mourn. The earth will be an empty wasteland, with all its cities lying in ruins. No one will be alive to work the land and plant seeds. Trees will produce fruit, but no one will gather it. Grapevines will have grapes, but no one